This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Funerals begin amid questions. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, May 31st. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Many of those killed in last week's school massacre in Texas are being laid to rest this week. Also, the Justice Department will review the police response.
The European Union has announced an oil embargo on Russia. Crude prices responded by rising to their highest level in 2 months.
The FDA is investigating an outbreak of hepatitis A that may be linked to organic strawberries sold at chains like Walmart and Trader Joe's.
And how hoarding cash has become a meme on TikTok.
People are finding different things, but they're sharing different ways for them to help save money. It's a really wholesome, kind of joyous part of the internet, which is refreshing when it comes to saving, because so often we're talking about how much it sucks.
Julia Carpenter at the Wall Street Journal on saving cash through things like the Liquor Bottle Money Challenge. Over the next 2.5 weeks, people in Uvalde, Texas, will say goodbye to the children and their teachers killed in last Tuesday's school massacre. The first two of 19 children slain inside a classroom were being remembered at funeral visitations yesterday. There was a gathering for 10-year-old Amory Jo Garza, which was at Hillcrest Memorial Funeral Home. Visitation for another 10-year-old, Maida Rodriguez, was at the town's other funeral home. Funeral attendee Pamela Ellis.
This is what community looks like, to come and just provide support no matter where you are.
Funeral directors, embalmers, and others from across Texas arrived to help. Some morticians were there to help with facial reconstruction services, given the damage caused by the shooter's rifle. Meanwhile, the Justice Department will review the law enforcement response. It took police well over an hour to kill Salvador Ramos inside the adjoining classrooms where he unleashed carnage. As mourners in Texas prepare for funerals, elected officials vow to examine the flawed police response and drive changes to gun laws. Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, chair of the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime, called for hearings to seek ways to prevent mass shootings. President Biden, who spent nearly 4 hours Sunday visiting with the families of Uvalde victims, told reporters he would not give up on efforts to achieve what he calls common sense gun legislation, referencing Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
I think there's a realization on the part of rational Republicans, and I consider McConnell a rational Republican, and Cornyn is as well. I think there's a recognition on their part that they can't continue like this.
Authorities have said the 18-year-old gunman fired more than 300 rounds inside the school. The president says, quote, it makes no sense to be able to purchase something that can fire up to 300 rounds. President Biden highlighted Ukraine's fight against Russia in his Memorial Day remarks at Arlington National Cemetery, arguing the conflict demonstrates the need to continue fighting for freedom. His remarks came after he attended the laying of the wreath ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery to commemorate Memorial Day, with Mr. Biden saying the holiday served as a reminder to honor those who have been lost by continuing to fight for freedom and democracy.
This Memorial Day, we know the memory is still painful of all the fallen who lost their lives during the last two decades in combat. Each of them leaving behind a family, a community, hearts broken by their absence.
Mr. Biden paid tribute to the over 2,000 Americans that died in Afghanistan during America's almost two-decade war in that country. Coming up next, where the White House could go on gun legislation. It's the perfect season for a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies Summer Sale Event. Save up to 45% on secure PCs built for business with Windows 10 Pro.
You'll also find great savings on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and other accessories to help boost productivity. Plus, enjoy free shipping on everything. Take the lead with Windows 10 Pro devices. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL for business specials during Dell's summer sale event.
Thanks for being with us. Even though President Biden has nearly exhausted his options to confront gun violence with executive action, advocates and allies say there are a few steps he could take in the wake of horrifying mass shootings in Buffalo and Texas. Morgan Chalfant, White House reporter at The Hill, has some examples. Morgan, what's being said at this point?
So the White House right now is not saying much about what they're prepared to do. They say they're always reviewing options in terms of executive actions. Obviously, the president's already taken a number of actions, one of those being the Justice Department earlier this year announcing a regulation on ghost guns. So there are options that the advocacy community and some others see as potential avenues for Biden. One thing that's been floated by a number of individuals has been the idea of creating like an office or a czar to handle gun violence. It's not really quite clear where Biden stands on that idea right now. But there are some others as well, limited steps such as declaring a public health emergency with respect to gun violence, ordering the health agencies to do more in terms of preparing a kind of public health response to gun violence rather than having everything being mostly headquartered out of DOJ.
It'd be interesting if he declared, if the president declared a public health emergency, would that give him more and or different powers?
I think the idea of it is to then order the health agencies to start doing things with respect, doing more with respect to gun violence. So Surgeon General preparing some kind of report on gun violence methods to address it, you know, addressing the health impacts to gun victims and people that have, you know, suffered injuries from shootings. But, you know, his power, again, is limited here. And obviously what the president's really called on Congress to do is, you know, take steps legislatively, whether that be expanding background checks or banning assault weapons.
Yeah. We're speaking with Morgan Chalfant, White House reporter at The Hill. Her story is called Biden Has Limited Options, But There Are Some Things He Can Do on Guns. With regards to these like automatic weapons or high capacity magazines, is that something where he would write an executive order about?
So there are some advocates that I've spoken to that said he could try to regulate or ban assault weapons, assault style weapons himself. It's certain that those kind of actions would be subject to legal challenges. And I know that the White House is, you know, mindful of that in every executive action that they take, because, of course, the makeup of the courts is tends to tilt conservative on the federal level. So, you know, they're always considering that when they're preparing regulatory steps or executive actions. And so I think that the president's preference there is really going to be getting Congress to act on an assault weapons ban.
Do you think that the president will champion, for example, red flag legislation?
He hasn't yet, but it is something that folks on the Hill are talking about. So I do see that as something that Biden could start talking about. What the White House has really done up until this point is to give Senator Schumer and House Speaker Pelosi the leeway on, you know, taking the lead on any bipartisan negotiations or any plans on bringing legislation to the floor. I think what I'm watching for is whether that changes, whether Biden starts to be more vocal about what he wants to see from senators, whether he wants to see Schumer more quickly put some of these House passed bills on the floor if the bipartisan talks don't bear fruit.
Yeah. What else could he possibly do, the president?
There's some argument to helping some folks that we talked to deploying more of these Justice Department strike forces, which are some groups that they deployed last year to address gun violence in cities in particular. But again, you know, his authority really is limited here. And so, you know, if we do see any executive actions or moves from the White House, they'll probably be pretty tailored. And again, the focus is really on getting Congress to act, even though there's quite a quite a bit of skepticism as to whether that will be able to happen even after this horrible shooting.
Yeah. If he had his choice, and I don't think he said this, would he prefer that just all weapons be banned and confiscated?
No, I mean, I think that his preference really has been the assault weapons ban and the expanded background checks. Those are things that he consistently touches on. And I think that's what you're going to continue to hear from him, you know, in the coming weeks.
Thanks, Morgan. Morgan Chalfant, White House reporter at The Hill. 19 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
American flags fluttered in the hot wind as Memorial Day dawned in Uvalde, a day of mourning and remembrance as the close-knit town of 15,000 was beginning to bury its dead. The 19 students and two teachers gunned down at Robb Elementary School last Tuesday. Funeral attendee Dorina Davila.
Nobody should ever have to go through this hardship. Something that could have very well been avoided.
Visitations and funerals are expected to stretch until mid-June.
Number two.
The Justice Department says it will review law enforcement's response to the school shooting in Uvalde amid growing anger over why police failed to swiftly confront the gunman. Law enforcement agencies allowed the shooter to remain in a classroom for nearly an hour while officers waited in the hallway. And children inside made panicked 911 calls for assistance. Texas state and county authorities say they are conducting their own inquiry.
Number three.
European Union leaders have agreed to partially cut off Russian oil imports as part of the sixth round of sanctions against the country since Russian President Vladimir Putin launched the invasion of Ukraine in February. The deal will still allow for the imports by pipeline, but bans all Russian oil brought in by sea, which the EU says will cut a huge source of financing for Russia's war machine. Fire raged through a chemical company last night southwest of downtown Omaha, forcing nearby residents to evacuate and leaving thousands without power. Thick smoke billowed from the Knox Creek facility, but no injuries had been reported. The facility makes coatings and compounds.
Let me be perfectly blunt. You are not my first choice. You were here at the request of Admiral Kazansky, a.k.a. Iceman. He seems to think that you have something left to offer the Navy. What that is, I can't imagine.
Top Gun Maverick is turning out to be everything expected and then some. The long-awaited sequel to the 1986 hit opened to a blockbuster $156 million in North America over the long weekend, a box office record for the holiday, and a career-best debut for its star, Tom Cruise. Top Gun kicks off a summer of high-profile, big-budget releases that studio heads and theater owners hope finally gets movie-going and older moviegoers back to pre-pandemic habits. The previous record holder for Memorial Day weekend, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, which opened to $153 million in 2007.
How about Cruise? All right. Thank you, Jen.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit MichiganBusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's MichiganBusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Rather than embrace crypto, savings apps, or other innovations to improve their personal finances, many TikTok users favor the low-tech, tactile experience of hoarding cash in creative ways. Julia Carpenter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says filling liquor bottles with cash is just one of the viral money-saving trends taking off on the social video platform. Julia, what's trending?
It's interesting when you search money challenge on TikTok because there's billions of views and also millions of videos. And people are finding different things, but they're sharing different ways for them to help save money. It's a really wholesome kind of joyous part of the internet, which is refreshing when it comes to saving because so often we're talking about how much it sucks.
This woman you talked to, Bianca Johnson, beginning of your story, she's got a lot of followers, and what she does on TikTok matters, I guess. What did she do?
Bianca was participating in the Money Bottle Challenge. That means that you clean out a bottle with a thin neck. Usually people are using liquor bottles or wine bottles. And then you take all of your spare cash and change and save it for a set period of time. So she was doing this for 90 days. She said, number one, it prompted her to use cash more, which meant that she wasn't just sort of swiping and forgetting. Number two, it sort of became a game. As she was putting more money in the bottles, she wanted to see how much money was left. So it was sort of a game and something she started then competing with her followers about. Her followers started doing it too, and she felt like that was sort of an accountability.
Wow. I was just going to say, so she felt kind of obligated to not touch it. And I think you said in the story, like the skinny neck of a liquor bottle means you're going to have to smash it to get the money, right? You can't stick your fingers down there and grab it as
Absolutely.
Easily.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't grab it as easily. You can't see how much money is in there. So it's a little bit like somebody else I interviewed, you know, compared it to like the jar of jelly beans you would have at the county fair or something, yeah, where everyone's trying to guess how much is in it. And she said if it hadn't been for sharing it with her followers, she probably would have been tempted to smash the bottle halfway through. But instead, she just sort of committed, like, okay, I'm filling this up to the very top for 90 days. Then I'm going to allow myself to look at it. And it was $542, which she said, you know, that's $542 she didn't have previously. It was kind of a big boon for her.
We're speaking with Julia Carpenter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called How Hoarding Cash Became a TikTok Meme. You also referenced, too, the 100 Envelope Challenge. What is that?
The 100 Envelope Challenge is a little different in that you do know how much money you're saving, but it's sort of randomized. So you take 100 envelopes, you label them from 1 to 100, mix them all up, and then every time you get paid, every day, you pull one of those envelopes and you have to save that amount of money. So one day you might pull $2, so you take $2 and put it in there, you're saving that. Another day you might pull $99, so you have to save $99 and put it there. It's a way to sort of automate your savings, but also make saving feel like something you can do. It's in a relatively small amount on some days, relatively larger amount on others. People are saying that at the end of the challenge, you know, they can save up to $5,000, $50,000 maybe if you're
wow.
doing it multiple different times. But yeah, people get really creative with it. They do it with different colored envelopes, stickers, boxes for the envelopes. If you search envelope challenge, 100 envelope challenge on TikTok, there's a whole wealth of videos there.
No kidding. Somebody said too that actually counting cold hard cash reaffirms positive habits. How so?
You know, I interviewed someone else who said she does it as a way to sort of reinforce for herself, I do have money saved. I am counting. I can show myself how much I have. I have more than I assumed. But also using cash, we've seen in studies that people overestimate how much that they will spend when they have cash and underestimate how much they'll spend when they have cards. Hmm. So it's easier for people to just sort of think of swiping the card as not real money to say, but cash, there's actual a bit more of a physical connection there.
Thanks, Julia. Julia Carpenter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Tuesday, May 31. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Funerals are planned this week in Uvalde, Texas, for many of those killed in last week's school massacre. The EU announces an embargo on most Russian oil, which sent crude prices higher. FDA looking into strawberries tied to a possible hepatitis A outbreak. The French food giant Danone is sending 500,000 cans of specialized baby formula to the U.S. The husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi arrested for DUI. And the sisters, who never knew each other, despite living in the same city 45 years. Their reunion story in about 20 minutes. Well, Vladimir Putin has launched a war on just one nation, Ukraine, but the Russian president's vicious military campaign is punishing people in many countries, including some of the world's most vulnerable. Rick Newman at Yahoo Finance says with no end in sight, the war's economic toll could become devastating in some parts of the world by the middle and end of 2022. Rick, explain.
Well, the one we know the most about is energy, mostly oil prices. There's a good chance that the worst is ahead of us here rather than behind. Europe is talking about trying to enact a full embargo of Russian oil. No countries in Europe would buy Russian oil if they could do it. So that'd be a lot of global oil supply off the market. I think here in the United States, we could see $5 gas on average. There are even some forecasts it could go as high as $6. And it's not just us. I mean, energy prices are going high everywhere. But that's the one that's gotten the most attention. But food is actually becoming a big problem in some countries because Ukraine is a major source of sunflower oil, which a lot of people use for cooking. Also, a lot of barley, grain, wheat, and corn. And Russia basically has blockaded Ukraine's export ports on the Black Sea, which is the main way all of this food gets into world markets. Ukraine can ship out some product by rail and by road into Europe, but there's just not enough capacity there. So this food is just not getting where it needs to go. And this is causing food insecurity problems already in places that rely on Ukrainian exports, such as parts of Africa, parts of the Middle East, parts of Asia. And this is only likely to get worse the longer the war goes on.
You know, the trickle down, too, that you pointed out was that could mean reduced planting of future crops. And I think, as you said, by as much as up to 35%.
That's in Ukraine itself. Because some of this farmland is now a war zone. So that gets to next season, and who knows, the season after that. There's yet another problem here because Russia and Belarus, which is a Russian ally just north of Ukraine that is also subject to some sanctions. These two countries produce a lot of fertilizer and components for fertilizer. And not something you normally think about, but the price of fertilizer on global markets is up 230% since the war started just 3 months ago, which means that in some countries, especially developing countries, lower income countries, they're either going to cut back on fertilizer, which means the crop yields are going to be smaller, or they're going to have to do without it altogether. So there's enough food in the world to feed everybody, but as we learned with the COVID pandemic, when some part of the supply chain gets kinked up or blown up, as is kind of the case here, we can't automatically just move it to new places from old places. Getting these supply chains reoriented takes time. And in the meanwhile, there could be a real food crisis in some parts of the world because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. His piece is called Four Ways Russia is Wrecking the Global Economy. He touched on energy, touched on food. Another one, destabilization. And it's almost like the food part sort of trickles into this.
Right. There are some Russia analysts who say Russia knows exactly what it's doing by withholding food from parts of the world that need it. And it's actually a tactic that Russia has used before. The idea being that you could cause new refugee flows, especially refugee flows into Europe, if some parts of the world become destabilized enough that people feel they need to leave those parts of the world. I don't know if that's going to happen, but this was a Russian strategy in Syria, where part of what they wanted to do was drive civilians, millions of them, in fact, out of their homes because it wasn't safe to live there, and turn them into refugees. And a lot of those Syrian refugees did end up in Europe. So that is another way Putin, Russia's president, thinks he might be able to stress Europe.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending part of your Tuesday with us. As companies call employees back after more than 2 years of remote work, some have been surprised to rediscover the pleasures of office life. As they told Wall Street Journal columnist Rachel Feinzig, commutes that once felt onerous are now weirdly welcome. Rachel, go figure.
Shocking, right? Yeah. I mean, I feel like the alternative headline would have been like, you know, workers shocked to find it's not that bad. I mean, there's certainly a lot of people who, you know, don't want to go back or just have some anxiety about it. But I think for many people, there's something about being back that just makes them feel like themselves. It is a return to normalcy in a way. It's better and different than it was before. And even just like the tech stuff, you know, I heard from a lot of workers who are like so happy to be reunited with like a printer that works. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of things that make people like surprisingly happy to be back.
Somebody said something in your story that made me think. They said they were exhausted by going to the office. And I thought, I think you kind of have to be in some sort of mental shape to be back at the office. It's brand new again.
Yeah, it's totally exhausting. I mean, there's like the physical commute, but just being on in that way. I mean, and we are rusty a lot of this stuff. I mean, I've written about this before, you know, social skills, how we interact with each other, let alone the fact that it is kind of this new environment where we have to be thinking about things we weren't before. So, yeah, I think it can be totally exhausting.
A couple of these surveys, Rachel, what are they saying about some of the top benefits about being back at the office?
Yeah, it's that interaction, you know, collaboration with colleagues, and it's some of the tech stuff too. I mean, being back to your sit, stand, desk with your monitors. I mean, people have tried to make this work from home, but I think the results kind of vary. Not everyone has the space, the equipment to kind of have that great working environment at home.
And there was at least one person who said that they missed the office microwave, believe it or not.
So gross, right? I mean, she said, she was like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I missed the gross office microwave. I think it's those like trappings of normalcy that make us feel like ourselves, like we're playing our office characters again. You know, people talked about being like the funny guy in meetings. Yeah. I feel that it's just like a dimension of yourself, your work self that we've kind of been missing in a way.
We're speaking with Rachel Feinzig, columnist at The Wall Street Journal. The column is called Life and Work. This piece is called Pocket Squares and Printers That Work, The Surprise Joys of Being Back in the Office. You referenced the word normal, and there was somebody in your story who said it feels normal, but better. What do they mean?
Yeah, I think this is an important part because the people that I talk to, most of them are not going back 5 days a week, and they are not going back to the exact old office. You know, people talked about how the office feels different. It feels more casual, more comfortable. People are wearing different clothes. There is a new sense of flexibility. People told me, you know, there's this idea that like, I guess I could have been leaving early to avoid the traffic or make my kids school play before, but I just wasn't. Like, no one told me I couldn't, but like, there wasn't that vibe. Or maybe in some places, you know, bosses told you couldn't. But now, after people have been working from home for so long, hopefully in many offices, there is a sense that we can flex our hours and we can make this work.
You talked to some folks, too, who didn't have long, like big city commutes. But for those kind of mid-range commutes, they found it somewhat therapeutic or, I don't know, nice to be in a quiet space or something, right?
Yeah, people told me that commutes that they used to hate and think of as a total time waster now felt kind of quiet, a time to get away from the kids, kind of enjoy that transition between work and home, which many people lost out on during the pandemic. To be fair, like these were not people who had, you know, an hour and a half long commutes like I do. some of them had, you know, really short commutes, like 15 minutes. But even the people who had like 40 minute commutes told me this, that they liked getting into their cars more than they did before and turning on a podcast and having that time for themselves to reflect.
Thanks, Rachel. Rachel Feinzig, columnist at The Wall Street Journal.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Don't forget to check out a podcast of the program. You can find it on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on all the popular podcast platforms. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
On the day the nation sets aside to remember those killed in war, Evalde said farewell to two of the 19 children and two teachers who were massacred in a shooting at their elementary school last week. Family members and friends mourned and prayed, and funerals for victims are scheduled into the middle of next month.
Number two.
President Biden says the Second Amendment was never absolute, and that after the Texas elementary school shooting, there may be some bipartisan support to tighten restrictions on the kind of high-powered weapons used by the gunman.
It makes no sense to be able to purchase something that can fire up to 300 rounds.
In Congress, a bipartisan group of senators talked over the weekend to see if they could reach even a modest compromise on gun legislation after a decade of mostly failed efforts. That included encouraging state red flag laws to keep guns away from those with mental health problems.
Number three.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is introducing legislation to impose a national freeze on handgun sales, responding to an increase in homicides in his country and creating a sharp contrast with the gun debate in the U.S.
We need only look south of the border to know that if we do not take action firmly and rapidly, it gets worse and worse and more difficult to counter.
Trudeau also announced a gun buyback program to offer fair compensation to the owners and businesses affected by a 2020 law banning assault-style firearms. Historic Hurricane Agatha has touched down in Mexico's southern coast as heavy storm surges and driving rains prompt fears of massive flooding and mudslides. Agatha made landfall about 5 miles west of Puerto Angel as a strong Category 2 storm yesterday afternoon, with maximum sustained winds of 105 miles per hour. Up to 20 inches of rain was forecast for some areas. And the FDA is investigating two brands of organic strawberries sold at numerous grocery stores for a possible link to an outbreak of hepatitis A. The multi-state outbreak has been potentially linked to organic strawberries branded as Fresh Campo and H-E-B. They were sold at several retailers nationwide, including Aldi, H-E-B, Kroger, Safeway, Sprouts, Farmers Market, Trader Joe's, Walmart, Weis Markets, and Winco Foods.
All right, thank you, Jen. Coming up next, Sisters Reunited. It's the perfect season for a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies Summer Sale Event. Save up to 45% on secure PCs built for business with Windows 10 Pro. You'll also find great savings on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and other accessories to help boost productivity. Plus, enjoy free shipping on everything. Take the lead with Windows 10 Pro devices. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL for business specials during Dell's Summer Sale Event. Thanks for being with us. They share the same father, are the same age, and have lived in the same city for over 30 years. Yet Michelle Dugan and Trish Morgan were unaware of the other's existence, having been born to different mothers and separated 51 years ago, but they've reunited recently after a DNA test. How about this? GoodNewsNetwork.org says their kids graduated on the same day from the same Las Vegas high school. 3 years ago, Michelle decided it was time she discovered where she came from and signed up for Ancestry.com. She received a message from a woman named Trish asking to meet for coffee. They spent hours chatting about their lives, trying to bridge decades. They were amazed not only by the fact that the sons were the same age at the same school, but they both had a background in real estate. Not long after, the newly connected sisters launched Sisters Selling Vegas for the Realty One Group. Sisters Selling Vegas reportedly closed 44 transactions with $12 million in gross sales last year. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.